Music of Franz Waxman from The Bride of Frankenstein. I'm Katie Henriks, and you're listening to Of Note on 91.3 KUIF. A little spooky film score music to get you ready for a fantastical experience. That would be none other than the Shadow Ensemble, a new ensemble under the helm of composer and musician Ryan Cockrum that is dedicated to live improv scoring, to silent film classics. They're partnering with me in a Trillium Salon Series concert and film screening this weekend. We will be screening the entirety of Fritz Lang's Metropolis, the silent film classic from 1927. They will be live scoring while the movie is playing at the Artist Laboratory Theater on South College Avenue. That's all starting at 8 p.m. Saturday night at Artist Laboratory Theater in Fayetteville. It's a free event. And I wanted you to know more about exactly what the Shadow Ensemble does, how they create this music. So let's turn right to the sources and my interview with Ryan Cockrum, along with members of the Shadow Ensemble.
Shadow Ensemble is a group of people who sort of all come from different musical backgrounds, who come together and create these live scores for silent films. It can be really any film, you know. So far, we've focused specifically on science fiction and horror and a lot of these early kind of unsettling movies that, you know, at the time when people were making silent films, it's so interesting to think that there was definitely this group of people making comedies and romances, but there were these other people who were really interested in using this new medium to just scare people as much as they could. And, you know, as the Shadow Ensemble, we find that pretty exciting. We come together and we make music for these films.
It's always interesting to see kind of what people thought was scary almost 100 years ago, and to kind of see what scares us now. And so I like seeing those differences and then applying music to those differences.
I think my favorite part about the Shadow Ensemble is when we do our rehearsals and pre-recordings, because in those pre-recordings you get in this crazy headspace. You don't like know where you are, you get so lost, and being able to transfer that to other people live is incredible. I think that's really cool.
Metropolis, it's this iconic 1920s film. And it's a little bit, I would be personally very overwhelmed about how to approach live scoring it. So I would love to hear your thoughts about what it's been like, how you're creating the music, this new score to Metropolis.
To answer that question, you first have to also think about how the Shadow Ensemble creates music. That's a really important part of this discussion. In order to create the atmosphere we do, but at the same time pay respect to what's already happened, a lot of our instruments are sort of eclectic and unique. So, for example, we use prepared pianos. We use a lot of these really old synthesizers that you can't find anymore. We use theremins. We use all sorts of eclectic world percussion instruments. So we start with this really diverse canvas of instruments, right? This is something that you won't find a lot in classical music or anything else like that. And when it comes time to creating the film score, you know what it really is? It's in a way, it's no different than how they scored these films originally or when they were shown in the theaters, where there was an organist who had this massive console and he would watch this film. And as he would watch it, he's probably seen it, you know, 100 times. He creates music on the fly, right, that represents themes for people and, you know, these helps propel this narrative forward. And that's the point with these silent films. It's not like a score today. It's not a score where it's like this, like we're trying to explore these really deep subtleties of sound. Even though we are, it's more about communicating clearly what's happening. And to do that, there's a lot of communication between us. There's no, you know, sheet music. There's no music stands. It's all contact. It's all engagement. And it's all really just a lot of practice.
But what I think is how you approach this is, like what Ryan said, has to do a lot with communicating. And at some point, someone might take a lead on a specific part in the film. And the rest of us usually back them up because at that point, we're kind of centering around ideas. If there's the scene in the film where someone gets killed or something, we try to communicate to each other. It's like, hey, what kind of vibe do we want to set this up with? And then we try to see who takes the lead for when someone gets actually murdered. Lots of looking around. And Ryan usually helps direct us to see who needs to speak up or who needs to quiet down a little bit.
What I really like is that we all have very similar mindsets and ideas. So I feel like I couldn't do the Shadow Ensemble without these people. We just get this vibe, and we slip into these grooves when we're watching Metropolis while recording. I don't know how to explain it. It just fits so well. It's perfect every time.
It's weird because it's actually extremely musical in the sense that there's no way you can do this without listening to everything else that's going on around you. Like, we can't just stare at Ryan and wait for him to say, I want prepared piano right now. You have to actually listen to what's going on around you and adjust accordingly. And you learn that whenever you start picking up an instrument or playing music in general, but it is amplified by like 20 when there's only five people doing 17 different things all at the same time, and you're trying to find a good theme for a good part in the movie. It's weird. It's incredibly musical.
My job in the show, I don't actually play as much as everyone else. I act as sort of the conductor of the ensemble. We've created this really detailed hand gesture system. And everyone's laughing because I always forget the hand gesture system halfway through the film, how it actually works. And then at that point, I just start kind of waving my hands. But basically, my job is I'll usually play something. So maybe sort of an organ sound or the violin. So usually just one thing, but not often. And the rest of the time, my job is to sort of watch the film as it's going and sort of layer everyone. So sort of like a traditional conductor, I'm cueing people in, directing with my hands when we should probably have a scene change, when we should change the music, maybe we should thin it out, maybe we should get louder, you know, answering questions like that for the group because they are facing away from the screen. They don't actually see the film while the film is happening. I'm the only one watching the film as we go.
Can you describe any of the hand gestures?
Yeah, okay, so there's a few. So there's a number system, and each instrument has its own sort of interpretation of what these numbers mean. So, for example, when Alicia's playing the prepared piano, I kind of make eye contact with her because, as we mentioned previously, eye contact is so important in this group. And that's what makes it fun. It's like a really like intimate chamber orchestra, you know, where everybody's watching each other and it's really great. So she and I make eye contact. And then if I hold up a number one, you know, that means play on the keyboard, right? The standard piano playing, even though this piano has been prepared. So there's all these weird things sticking out of the strings. If I gesture with a two, that means pluck inside the piano bed. So she kind of gets up and is inside the piano at this point. Three means use mallets inside the piano. Four, which by this point we're usually lost in terms of where we're at. So if I start just kind of making little fists and moving them in alternating patterns, that means just make these really kind of dissonant clusters, right? So the hands not only cue a technique, they kind of help shape a sound every once in a while. For synthesizers, usually we program a variety of different presets into the sound banks. So sometimes the hand gestures will mean like switch to a new sound, switch to a specific sound. Sometimes there's a fist gesture raised in the air. That means, you know, this has come to a point that we've talked about. Like this is a dramatic moment where, and they'll know what I mean based on the timing of the film, do what we talked about here. Things like that, you know, and then we, because they're not watching, obviously the most important hand gesture I can give is the one at the end, which says the film is ending in about 20 seconds. Let's wrap it up. Right, because they can't see. So what we don't want to have happen is just to keep playing and it's just black. It gets really awkward for everybody. So that's kind of a brief summary of the hand gestures.
And sometimes we go off of facial cues.
Yeah.
Also,
do I give facial cues?
Oh.
No. Oh yeah. Oh, definitely. And you'll just like nod your head and get this weird look on your face.
Okay.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Nod your head and get a weird look. I do that one a lot apparently.
When one of us do something like extremely well or just fits with the film so well, you just look around for a couple seconds and kind of just...
You kiss your fingers.
Admire the moment.
I do. I do the Italian chef kiss. We do that a lot. What's you guys? I mean, you guys make it great. You know, what's really cool about this group, too, is just the origin of this group. I started teaching music theory at Northwest Arkansas Community College 2 years ago. And when I started, my job description was very much just to teach music theory. So when I met these people, I just got this feeling that we were capable of something a lot bigger than just meeting on Tuesday and Thursday and talking about music theory. I will say, interestingly enough, you know, as a preface to my final statement, that everyone in this group is a student of mine in my class. But that's such an understatement, and it's such a disservice to them because, I mean, they're not students. They've impressed people all over. I mean, they are truly colleagues. So I would say this is a professional group. This is not about students.
My thoughts now are about Metropolis itself. It's such an important movie to me, and it's to all of us, it is a very old film. I mean, it's like you said, nearly 100 years old. And I would just love to hear your impressions and descriptions of what the movie is to you.
It's very strange, obviously. It's set in the future, and it gives off a weird vibe that makes it easy to create music to all this improvised music. So,
yeah, it's an interesting film because you know what I love about the most about this film is that when you watch it, you can't honestly believe that this was made when it was made, because the scene design is incredible. And like, you're seeing these, I mean, you're seeing these images that just, like, it's totally surreal. I mean, you've got like this amazing like city, like industry, like this gritty, like humans are automatons. I mean, this is like industry at its finest, right? But then you've got this like religious experience in this film, you know, where we have, you know, this woman who symbolizes like truly like humanity, right? And then this like morphing into this robot. I mean, it's just, this film is outrageous. I mean, and to think that like if this film was made today with the technology we had today, people would not be able to take what this film has become. I mean, it's revolutionary. And so when you watch it, you're just like, I can't believe someone had this vision. You know, I mean, you guys feel the same when you see this?
Oh, yeah.
Especially in 1927.
Yeah.
Exactly. I can't imagine what that was like viewing that in 1927. That's incredible.
Like, I mean, you can't imagine that. I mean, these people were probably just like rendered speechless by this film. Yeah.
Because there's so much symbolism in the film.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so much. I mean, everything means something else. This whole film is like this big extended metaphor dream that's just, I mean, where can you even begin, you know?
I didn't even really know what it was until you told us we were doing a live score of it, and I was like, oh, I should probably watch it.
Yeah.
But I watched it, and I was like, oh. Like, it, like, sets the scene for every sci-fi movie after that. Every sci-fi movie tries to imitate how groundbreaking it was. And, like, it just doesn't come close. There are some places where you've seen, you could think that, you know, the effects we have now could make something better. But for how it was back then, I don't even know how they did that. They must have, like, matched up with the monks that made the modes, because that was magical.
Yeah. It's incredible. I know.
I've never really watched silent films till like, 6 months ago. Until we introduced this whole idea. And first we started off with Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, some like other stuff like that. And I could notice with Metropolis, it was completely different. And I can't even say anything. I don't know how to explain it. It's just, at the time when those other films were being made, this was ahead of that time. And it's crazy.
It still is kind of ahead of the time. That's what's so interesting about it. And like, it's weird that they're sitting around, you know, Fritz Lang and his buddies and the 20s, and they created this film that is like totally a commentary on the next 90 years of Western civilization. I mean, if you think about that, that's pretty out there. I mean, think about like this whole idea of turning someone into this robot. I mean, think about like all this bioengineering we're doing these days, you know, or you think about, obviously, I mean, like this idea of class struggle, you know, class warfare you find in Metropolis. They predicted everything. And because it's in this movie that's so outrageous, that's what makes it even more effective. Because they're not just beating you over the head with this message, like, this is what the future is going to be like. They put in this really odd package, but it's real.
And it's all visual.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, there's no, it's not that much of a plot. You know, it's all expressed sans, you know, speaking. It's cool.
While you're in the zone, when the movie's playing and Ryan's conducting, I would, like, what does it feel like?
Get lost. It's almost, there's order, but it's not a fixed order. Like, you build the order as you're going. But overall, it's just, I don't know how to explain it. You just get lost. Feel like you're in outer space. You forget where you are. You forget you're performing. You just zone out and go in for it.
I think it's nice that you don't have to, like, worry about, where's the downbeat? Is this musical? What about this? What about that? It's just kind of, Ryan points at you and you're like, oh, it's my time. And you just go. And then you start going and you're like, I don't even care if this sounds bad. So you start taking chances, and then you'll start taking chances to see what's going to sound good. And then you take a chance, and then Ryan does his Italian chef kiss and you're like, oh, that was a good one. So then you like make a mental note, but it's weirdly intimate because we're all kind of spaced out usually because of all the cables and the wiring. But it feels like we're all just kind of in one, like, feet of space. Like, we're not actually that far apart. Like, we're all right on top of each other, kind of.
Basically, the music connects us.
Well, awesome. I am so excited to experience this. Thanks so much for coming in and talking to me about the project.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Ryan Cockerham, along with his Shadow Ensemble. I'm Katie Henriksen. You're listening to Of Note on 91.3 KUIF. Really, really incredibly excited about this Trillium Salon series. We'll be presenting a screening of Fritz Lang's Metropolis, and the Shadow Ensemble will be bringing a live improvisational scoring to that silent film classic. Now, that's all taking place at Artists Laboratory Theater this Saturday night, beginning at 8 p.m. If you'd like more information, you can always email the Trillium Salon series at any time. I check that email. That's Trillium. That's T-R-I-L-L-I-U-M. salonseries@gmail.com. You can add your name to be on the list to know when we have our next Trillium Salon Series concert. Now, if you're on Facebook, we also have a Facebook invite for that event happening this Saturday night. You can search Facebook for Trillium Salon Presents Metropolis Screening. Really excited about that. That's posted on my Facebook page for Of Note 2 as well, and on Twitter at Of Note KUAF. Really excited about this event. It's going to be spectacular, one-of-a-kind event. The Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra shares the stage with the Northwest Arkansas Ballet Theater this Saturday at the Aaron Arts Center in Bentonville. This collaboration features the witty zoological fantasy, The Carnival of the Animals by Camille Saint-Saëns, plus a potpourri of other works. ArkansasPhilharmonic.org for tickets and more information. Let's go now to brand new music from Max Richter. His latest release is called Three Worlds, music from Wolf Works. That means he is inspired by three works by Virginia Woolf. That would include Orlando, The Waves, and Mrs. Dalloway. Let's hear the entirety of The Waves. And the subtitle here is Tuesday. This is music composed by Max Richter. Orchestra featured in this studio recording is the Deutsches Filmorchester Babelsberg, led by Robert Ziegler. We'll also hear Max Richter featured in piano, modular, synthesizer, and the reader at the beginning of this piece is Gillian Anderson.
Tuesday. Dearest, I feel certain that I'm going mad again. I feel we can't go through another of those terrible times. And I shan't recover this time. I begin to hear voices. And I can't concentrate. So I am doing what seems the best thing to do. You have given me the greatest possible happiness. You have been in every way all that anyone could be. I don't think two people could have been happier till this terrible disease came. I can't fight any longer. I know that I am spoiling your life. That without me you could work. And you will, I know. You see, I can't even write this properly. I can't read. What I want to say is I owe all the happiness of my life to you. You have been entirely patient with me and incredibly good. I want to say that. Everybody knows it. If anybody could have saved me, it would have been you. Everything has gone from me, but the certainty of your goodness. I can't go on spoiling your life any longer. I don't think two people could have been happier than we have been. B.
brand new music, the latest from Max Richter, that is called The Waves, inspired by Virginia Woolf's The Waves. I'm Katie Henriksen. You're listening to Of Note on 91.3 KUIF. If you missed my conversation with Ryan Cockrum and the Shadow Ensemble, I'll have that online as soon as possible. They're presenting a very extraordinary event this weekend as part of my Trillium Salon series. We present a screening of Fritz Lang's silent classic, Metropolis, along with a live improvisational score from Ryan Cockrum and the Shadow Ensemble. That's all taking place at the Artist Laboratory Theater on South College in Fayetteville, just across from the Senior Center. It's a free event open to the public. Starts at 8 p.m. I hope you're there. I am just thrilled to present this Trillium Salon Series experience. Let's go now to music from Nico Muley from his Four Studies. The piece is dedicated to Angela and Jennifer Chun. We'll hear them performing from Nico Muley's Four Studies. Thank you.
Thank you.
Music from Nico Muley's Four Studies. We heard from the sisters. We heard from sisters Angela and Jennifer Chun. I'm Katie Henriksen. You've been listening to Of Note on 91.3 KUAF Public Radio, broadcasting from downtown Fayetteville. You can catch us on Translator K203BO 88.5 in MENA. Remember to keep up with all things Of Note by adding me on Facebook. That's Of Note with Katie Henriksen on Facebook. You can add me on Twitter, Of Note KYF. You can find out about the next Trillium Salon Series concert. Have one this weekend featuring Ryan Cockrum and the Shadow Ensemble. It's also a screening of the Fritz Lang silent masterpiece, Metropolis, in collaboration with Artists Laboratory Theater. It's a free event. If you'd like more information, you can find us on Facebook. We have an event there. You can also just show up at Artists Laboratory Theater on South College in Fayetteville at 8 p.m. for this enticing event. Let's turn out to a piece from Mozart. Let's go to his Hofner Serenade. It's his number 7 in D major. We'll hear from members of the Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Pinkus Zuckerman.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Entirety of Mozart's Hofner Serenade. That's his number 7 in D major. I'm Kitty Hendrickson. You've been listening to Of Note on 91.3 KUIF. That was Pinchas Zukerman conducting members of the Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra. Stay up to date with all things Of Note by adding me on Facebook. That's Of Note with Katie Hendrickson. Also on Twitter, Of Note KUIF, including Trillium Salon Series latest news. We have a concert this weekend, Metropolis screening at Artists Laboratory Theater on South College in Fayetteville, featuring a live improvisational scoring from the Shadow Ensemble. If you missed my interview, I'll have that archived as soon as possible. I will also post it right away to our Facebook page and to Twitter. So lots of reasons to go add me on social media if you're there. So come find me. We'll close out today with a little bit of film music from none other than Nino Rota. It's from La Dolce Vita. We'll hear the La Scala Philharmonic led by Riccardo Muti. when I introduced the piece, I said that was from La Dolce Vita. I was wrong. Not from La Dolce Vita. That was from Eight and a Half. Fellini's Eight and a Half music, film score music from Nino Rota. We heard from Riccardo Muti leading the La Scala Philharmonic. I'm Katie Henriksen. You've been listening to Of Note on 91.3 KUAF Public Radio Broadcasting from Fayetteville. Support for 91.3 comes from listeners just like you and from Archon Plus, providing digital and offset printing, graphic design and promotional items, and a variety of business services for jobs of all sizes. Located just off College Avenue at 461 East Township in Fayetteville, Archon has been locally owned and operated for more than 25 years. Printing NWA.com or 444-7711 for more information. Coming right up here on 91.3 KUAF, much more classical music.